Because when you love the world, it will pollute your mind. And it will have you wanting to do the things of the world rather than the things of God. That's why you got to crucify the world. That's why you got to push aside everything that's of the world. That's why he said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Everybody that named the name of Christ need to walk away from sin. Need to turn your back on the world. You got to come out of the world. He said, come out and be ye separated. People don't want to be separated. See, that's foolishness to them, telling them they got to separate themselves from the world. Well, my people are in the world. You can love your people without loving the world. You got to have enough wisdom to separate the love for your people and the love of the world. You can go right in there where you're to a party where they're drinking and dancing and hooping and hollering or whatever they're doing, and you still love your people, but you don't have to be a partaker of what they're doing. You don't have to pick up a drink just because somebody else got one. You don't have to get in the soul train line because everybody else is in it. People want to do what everybody else is doing. See, that's the thing today. They want to take on the things of the world. They don't want no preacher to stand up and tell them, don't love the world. Don't be partakers with what the world is doing. They don't want to hear that. Even today, that's foolishness to them. Well, everybody else is doing it. They go to church over there and they're doing it. Why can't we do it? Well, let me ask you something. If the whole world was going to hell, would you want to go because they're going? You want to follow the crowd? Well, if all them doing it, it got to be right. That's what Ahab thought when he called up 400 prophets. 400 prophets. Prophesy. Go on up there and take it. Rahab Gilead. Go on up there and take it. God gonna be with you. Go on and get it. 1 through 400, all come and prophesy the same thing. But the other kings, ain't you got one more here? Don't you just have one more? Let's hear what he got to say. Yeah, I got one, but he'll never prophesy me nothing good. He ain't never told me nothing good. Bring him on in anyway. Let's see what he got to say. Ah, shall I go up and return victorious? Ahab, if you return at all, God ain't spoke to me. I'd lock him up. Didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy nothing good? One man.
You have been enjoying the Word of Truth broadcast ministry of God's Holy Temple, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with Bishop Willie Perry. You can contact Bishop Willie Perry by writing Word of Truth, P.O. Box 8592, Dallas, Texas, 75339. Services at God's Holy Temple are held Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m., Saturdays at 10:30 a.m., and Sundays at 10 o'clock a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. Phone by dialing area code 214-371-7010 or 972-217-1255.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
Today, I ask you, Father, to give me the words to say and open the ears, the hearts, and the minds of people to receive what we have to say today, and let it be effective according to your will and purpose. This I ask in the name of your firstborn Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to go back into this business of being born again. We're going to go back into Job, and I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on this, so I wish you would, if you have a tape, a recorder to record it. I don't have any tapes to sell or books, and I'm not selling any oil. I'm not looking for a church. Just trying to explain some things, reveal some things to you that has been revealed to me by the Spirit of God, and the only way I know how. And when the earth was originally created, the angels shouted for joy. That's in Job 38:7. So it was beautiful, it was peaceful, it was populated by angels, not by humans. It was governed by the government of God, and there was a super archangel, a cherub named Lucifer, meaning bringer of light, one of two cherubims whose wings stretched over the very throne of God in heaven. Lucifer was thoroughly trained in the administration of the government of God. That's in Isaiah 14:12-14, and you'll find that also in Ezekiel 28:12-17. I think I mentioned that last week. But God governs by his spiritual law, a law based on the principle of love. Love first to God, with submission and obedience, and secondly, to his creatures. The way of outgoing concern for the good and welfare of others. But Lucifer's heart was lifted up in vanity because of his beauty and vast knowledge. He rebelled against God, mutinied, set out to organize his angels into an invading army and to conquer God in order to rule the entire universe. This disqualified Satan as Earth's ruler. However, the very principle of God's government requires that the ruler retain office until his successor qualifies and is inducted into office. Lucifer's name was changed to Satan, the devil. His angels became demons as a result of his universal rebellion on Earth. Universal destruction and chaos struck the surface of the earth. In 6 days, God reshaped the earth's surface, Genesis 1, creating man. God formed man not after any animal, but in his own likeness, not of the spirit composition as God is, but of material flesh and blood. The first man, Adam, father of the human race, allowed Satan's attitude of rebellion to enter his heart, failing to qualify as God's as Satan's successor. When Jesus was baptized by John in Mark 1:9-11, immediately he underwent the most titanic struggle ever in his temptation by the devil, verse 12 and 13. Jesus had come to qualify to replace Satan, to restore government, the government of God on earth, and bring back world peace. But as the first Adam had undergone and succumbed to Satan's temptation, Jesus had to face and overcome this disqualified Satan. Jesus underwent this test under the most trying and difficult conditions possible. He had been almost totally depleted of physical strength by fasting 40 days and nights, no food, no water. Yet even in this physical weakness, he was made stronger spiritually. Few have ever realized the stupendous struggle that took place at this crucial temptation. Jesus resisted Satan's supreme temptations. He did it by quoting scripture and obeying God. He proved under the maximum possible test that he would obey God's law and administer God's government faithfully. Then in utter physical weakness, but supreme spiritual strength, he proved he was Satan's master by giving Satan a crisp command to leave. And the defeated Satan slunk away. Then in Mark 1:14, having qualified for the executive administration of the government of God on earth, Jesus came into Galilee saying, as quoted, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." How was this time fulfilled? why was the kingdom of God at hand and not before? Simply because the wonderful news of the coming kingdom of God could not be announced until its successor had qualified to replace Satan as earth's ruler. At last, the kingdom of God, God's government over the earth, was at hand. At last, it was assured that the time was fulfilled. The one who had qualified to rule the earth was now free to announce his coming government. Yet Jesus was not going to take over the reign immediately. There was a number of reasons. One, God had set a definite plan into a definite time program for working out his purpose here below. It is a 7,000-year plan of seven millennial days, of which the first seven literal days of recreation were a type. The first six of these millennia are allotted for man of his own free volition, though swayed by Satan to go his own way. Also, in effect, they were allotted as the six millennial days for Satan's labor of deception over humanity, to be followed by the millennial Sabbath, in which Satan will observe, enforce, and rest from his work of deceiving the nations, and God will teach humanity his truth. Jesus, in God's plan, chose the first disciples to become apostles, to carry on the proclamation of the good news, and to become the foundation of his church. Christ is going to set up a world government over all earth's nations. Only the administration of a thoroughly trained and experienced organization. The first 6,000 years of human experience has proved abundantly that man is under Satan's sway, is not capable of ruling himself. Human devised governments always fail to bring world peace, yet man even now seems unwilling to admit the fact that men are still trying in vain to work and fight for peace. And that is where born again comes in, where being born again comes in. And that also is where born again has been tragically misunderstood and misrepresented. God's government will be a divine government by the saints converted into divine spirit persons, born of God, as those born of humans are human beings, so those born of divine will be divine beings, much having been given immortality. They shall have been born into and enter into and inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a kingdom is a nation composed of people as well as government, of the government of that nation. The kingdom of God is composed of the divine family of God, the one we habitually think of as God is the father of that family. Christ is the son of God, a member of that divine family, even as was of that divine family, the God. There are six earthly kingdoms that I can think of right now. The material kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom. We are not of the animal kingdom, as education will say that we evolved from apes and all that sort of stuff. We are a separate kingdom, a human kingdom, then the angelic kingdom and the God kingdom. We, as spirit-filled Christians, we will skip the angel kingdom and be born into the God kingdom. Now, that is the only place where anything similar to evolution occurs in the Bible. Is when we become born into the spirit, we will be God's children, spirit beings, not flesh and blood. We're made of material flesh, but in the form and shape of God, with minds on a totally different plane from the animal brain. The human family is made so that we might be able to receive God's Spirit and become children of God, like I said.